Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study in 1 Samuel.
Thanks, Amy. It's always good to be here. Today, we're going to continue in 1 Samuel. We're going to start in chapter 15, and we're going to see more about the consequences of Saul's inability to lead the people with his eyes focused on God. His eyes are always focused on himself, and we're going to see some more of the consequences that comes from that. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and open to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now, go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul summoned the people and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 men on foot and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay in wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Kenites, "Go, depart, go down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the people of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. Okay, so where we last left Saul, he was just prevented from killing his own son, Jonathan, who had broken an oath that never should have been made. Now we see Samuel has come to Saul with a message from God. God wants Saul to punish the Amalekites. He gives Saul very specific instructions on how God wants this done. Saul has a chance to show his obedience to God by performing this task to the letter. Now, we need to deviate a little here and discuss this because I know that these kinds of events from the Old Testament can be a terrible stumbling block for many people. How, you might be asking, could a good, kind, and loving God call for the death of an entire group of people, not even sparing the children? That sure sounds pretty vindictive and mean, doesn't it? The problem is, however, we ask this question from our own vantage point. We ask this question from our view of fair and just. When we ask this question, we implicitly tell the creator of the universe that we would have done better, and we question his judgment and sovereignty. So, before we move forward, let's do a quick recap of just a couple of things. First, God created everything. It's all his. It all belongs to him. Everything and every person is his to command and to do with as he wills. Genesis 1, 1 through 31 shows that it is all his. Two, God judges all creation by his standard of holiness, not ours. We don't get to call God to account and demand that he gives us an answer for his actions. He owes us nothing, not even the air we breathe. Romans 5, 6 through 11, Romans 9, 20 through 22, and James chapter 1, verses 13 through 18 all help to understand that. Third, according to God's standard of holiness, all that we have earned is the death penalty. Not one of us is righteous or good enough to stand in his presence and argue our case. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. Fourth, by his mercy, not through us earning it or deserving it, God has chosen to rescue those who call on his name from eternal punishment. Romans 3, verses 23 through 26, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. Five, God knows what we will choose before we choose it. Even in cases like this where God calls for the destruction of an entire group of people, he alone knew what the hearts of these people were like, and he alone is able to see whether they would ever choose to repent or not. Jeremiah 17:10, 1 Samuel 16:7, Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24, and 2 Timothy 2:20 all address this. And don't think for a minute that it made God happy to do this. This wasn't a pleasurable thing for him. Remember, he sent his Son into the world so that none may perish, but all may have everlasting life with him. Perishing souls don't make God happy, but in his sovereignty, this was necessary for his glory and for his purpose. John 3:16-21. 7. We have absolutely no business questioning God's motives or judgment. Isaiah 29:17, Isaiah 45:9-10, Job 38 through chapter 39, Job 40:2, Job 40:7-41-34. And finally, God doesn't speak to us this way anymore. We're no longer spoken to by prophets in this way. So if any dictator claims that God has told him that he's supposed to wipe out an entire group of people, you can be sure that the dictator is not speaking for God. Hebrews 1:1-4 makes that clear. All right. So now going back to Saul here. Saul is given this destruction from God, this direction from God, from Samuel. And the result? Saul fails. Totally. Not only doesn't he completely destroy the Amalekites, but he keeps the good stuff for himself. Again, Saul is acting out of an interest for himself, not for God. Really and truly, this was not a difficult task for Saul to follow. Destroy everything. Just close your eyes and swing your sword, basically. But Saul is not able to do that. Saul saw stuff that he wanted, and he took it. And he gave the leftovers to God. Basically, he says through his actions, "Here you go, God. I destroyed all the rotten stuff. I'll just hold on to the good stuff for myself since you didn't want it anyway." Over and over, Saul demonstrates that he isn't interested in having a relationship with God. He wants God's stuff, not God. And over in Scripture, demonstrates that what God wants is for us to want a relationship with him, not just his stuff. So, continuing in the passage, in verses 10 through 19, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. "I regret that I have made Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments." And Samuel was angry, and he cried to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, and it was told Samuel, "Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal." And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed be you to the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." And Samuel said, "What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" And Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have devoted to destruction." Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop! I will tell you what the Lord said to me this night." And he said to him, "Speak." And Samuel said, "Though you are little in your own eyes, are you not the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord?" Verse 11 makes my heart ache for Saul and cringe a little. Can you hear the sadness in God's message to Samuel? He is grieved. He isn't fire and brimstone angry. He's grieved. Saul, the man he chose to protect and help establish a proper covenant relationship between his people Israel and their God, turned away from God and did not carry out his instructions. God isn't talking about just this instance where he didn't destroy the Amalekites, but throughout his entire reign. Saul has not kept God's commands. God's grief is carried over onto Samuel, who cries out to God the whole night. God and his friend Samuel mourn together. Seriously, I would not want to be the one who grieved God to that point. Remember, our leaders do have a lot of responsibility on their shoulders, and they are ultimately responsible to God for them. Things change for Samuel in the morning, however. He gets up to go find Saul, and he learns that Saul has gone to build himself a monument. After disobeying God and turning his back on God, Saul is now celebrating how great he is, totally unrepentant. I love the word choice here. Why did you pounce on the plunder? pounce like a cat waiting for a mouse to show up. It definitely speaks of premeditation, patience, and waiting until he got what he wanted. Saul knew what he was doing. And yet, how often do we do that? How often do we get an instruction from God and not follow it all the way through, to our own detriment? Or even more provoking, how often do we keep what is best for ourselves and give God the leftovers? How often have you gone through the day without even picking up his word at all and moving it so you can dust doesn't count? But we manage to find time for our favorite TV show or computer game or favorite hobby, whatever that may be. God wants time with us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And we find so many things to fill our time that we give him the leftovers instead of the first fruits. Think about how much differently your day or week goes when you spend that time with God. Why do we skip it? Why do we give up that peace and calm, that focus, that understanding and comfort? Because we listen to the lie that says, oh, well, this thing is really important and God won't really mind, so go ahead and do that. You can read the Bible tomorrow. Stop listening to Satan's lies and start giving God your first fruits. You will be amazed what happens when you give sacrificially of your time and of your energy to him. Saul is a perfect example of how we are. How often are we caught in our sin and we lie and we try to backpedal and blame it on someone else or skirt around the issue? But God knows the truth. Why do we even bother? Especially when it's something we've pounced on. You know what I mean. You knew it was wrong even before you did it, but you did it anyway. And now you don't want to have to pay the price for the behavior. We're not fooling anyone with this, and we certainly are not coming to God with a repentant heart when we do this. We're coming to him with a haughty spirit and an attitude of, all right, I got what I wanted. Now you go ahead and forgive me and we'll all be good. Is that really asking for forgiveness? Are you actually repenting? Do you think God is going to say, okay, you said the magic word, forgive. I'll forgive you. God knows your heart better than you do. So check it daily. Make sure you're seeking him. And when you sin, because we all do, make it right with God and make sure your heart is ready to repent before you come to him with excuses and asking for indulgences. My question for today is, where are you questioning God? Where are you spending time arguing with him and telling him to do things your way? Where are you doing things your own way without remorse, on purpose, knowingly? Is your heart showing that his spirit is living in you, or does your heart show that nothing has really changed and you're still calling all the shots? I have a friend who realized that when she was praying about a certain issue, while she said, help me to see your will, what she really meant was, God, listen to my persuasive argument about why you should change your word on this topic and agree with me. When God did show her his will, she realized what her heart had really been focused on all that time, and she was humbled and she was repentant. If that describes you today, confess it to God. Bring it to him and ask him to show you his will, and be ready, because he will show you.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.